Good evening, Chennai. I hope you guys had a great day today. This is Roshni on the Night Show on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Yesterday we talked all about books and what everyone was reading in Chennai, but today I have something very special lined up for you. Today we're talking about movies. So what movies does Chennai really watch? And to join me in this show, I have a very special guest. Let me tell you a little about him, alright? He has an MS in communication from the Manipal Institute of Communications. He's the special correspondent for The Hindu. He's an honest film critic, one of the top bloggers of Chennai with a cult following, and my dear, dear, dear friend. Please welcome Sudhish Kamath. Hi, Sudhish.
Hi, Roshni Rasati.
How are you doing, Sudhish?
I'm good.
Good. So we're going to talk all about movies today, and you're going to give us your expert opinions. All right. Are you all set to enlighten Chennai?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope.
All right, great. Before we start our conversation, let's listen to some great music and come back in a minute. All right, Chennai, I hope you're enjoying the music, but if you're not, then write into me and tell me what you'd like to listen to. Call me on 4242-1048. But before that, just hold on, because we have some great conversation with none other than Sudhish Kamath. Sudhish, tell me, as a film critic, you get to watch movies before everyone else, and it seems like a great job to have. I mean, really, I would love to have your job. But is it difficult, or tell us what it's like, the life of a critic?
Well, let me think. I get to watch films before everybody else gets to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I get to watch free shows, which means I don't have to pay for my ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And that is supposed to be my work. And I get paid to write the reviews. Very difficult.
Wow, I'm sure a lot of people are envying you right now. But Sudhish, also tell me, when you go in to watch a movie as a critic, do you have any set parameters in your head? Like, do you say, this is the scale or this is the yardstick by which I'll judge it?
No, not when I'm watching the film. When I'm watching the film, I just watch it like any of us would. You know, we go there to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the point of trying to judge and analyze it or see where it's going?
Right.
So I don't think about it until, I don't analyze it until I actually have to type in the review.
Okay.
That is when you clearly know that what are the thoughts that stick with you, what are the things which are forgettable about the film.
Mm-hmm.
So you think for like 2 hours or 3 hours, and then put your thoughts together in paper. And the thing about a review is, it's after, at the end of the day, it's one person's opinion, you know.
Right.
So I don't think people should take reviews way too seriously.
Okay.
At best, it's like a friend telling you whether you have to watch a film or not, and that friend might be wrong.
Okay, but that's also been one of your USPs, that all of your critiques are usually just talking right to the person. It's very personal and very informative, as opposed to, you know, too high on technical jargon. Even though you get into that, most people love that your writing is so casual and talks directly to the person.
I guess it has to do with the kind of film that I'm reviewing.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a film that's meant for the audience, if it's a Rajnikanth film,
mm-hmm.
There's no point you can, like, you know, dissect it and put it under a microscope and say this is,
yeah,
this, the politics of this and all that. There are other people left to do that, but I don't think that's the place for a movie review column. The movie review column is to celebrate the magic of cinema and to say what works for the audience and what does not work for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm going to review a serious film, let's say a niche, a multiplex film like Aamir,
mm-hmm.
then I think it is the duty of a film critic to educate the audience on why they should watch it.
Right.
You know, because at the surface level, it might not seem like an interesting film, because it's about some guy who's on the run with a mobile phone in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some films like that need a push from the critic,
right,
to say, go watch it. It's a good movie. So I think that's where the analysis comes into play. Reviewing is informed opinion. So the more informed you are about cinema, the better the
Absolutely.
Quality of your review.
Right. Great. Thanks so much for that, Sudhish. We're going to listen to some music now, and when we come back, there's more questions with Sudhish. Stay tuned to The Night Show with me, Roshni, on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Welcome back, Chennai. You're with Roshni on The Night Show on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. We're in conversation with the one and only Sudhish Kamath, and we're talking to him about films and films in Chennai. While on the subject, you may or may not know this, Sudhish Kamath, apart from being a film critic, is also a filmmaker. Sudhish directed a movie called That Four-Letter Word, which released in February 2007, and starred some very interesting Chennai faces in the movie. So Sudhish, tell us a little bit more about That Four-Letter Word.
Yeah, it was a small personal film that we made, that I wrote along with my school friend Murugan Subramaniam.
Mm-hmm.
When we were both maybe 21 or 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a small personal film about our friends and people we knew, and we didn't quite expect people to go and watch it, you know, because we made it as a small film. But it's just that with more and more people getting involved in it, VJs and celebrities, it just kept getting bigger. And it's not like we had a conventional producer.
Right.
It was still produced with available resources.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out to be this weird hybrid between home video and independent cinema.
Okay.
And yeah, it was just that. It was an experiment. And but we did pretty well for ourselves because we released in Madras in Chennai during February last year.
Mm-hmm.
And in Bombay in September.
Okay.
And we also did three international film festivals. We did a Chennai International Film Festival 2006. We did the Screenplay of Film Festival in Singapore.
Okay.
And we did the South Asian Film Festival Bangladesh.
Okay.
So we did a fair bit of film festivals as well.
Right.
It was just a film about young people and what they had to do with the rest of their lives.
Okay.
So I guess there was a common point where people could relate to it.
Absolutely. Right. Great, Sudhish. So I have a question for you, which is that you know how they say, like, most business schools instill this fear of caution, rather, in an entrepreneur's mind. Does that apply to a film critic as well? As in, you know, does being a film critic curb your imagination as a filmmaker?
No, not really. I think it's at the end of the day, it's about storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to understand the finer nuances of storytelling to be a filmmaker.
Okay.
And for a film critic also, you need to be able to do the same.
Right.
So I guess the requirements for being a film critic or the filmmaker is pretty much the same, because every filmmaker is a critic and every critic is a filmmaker at some level.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I would even extend it to the audience, and the person watching the film at some level is a critic, and at some level he's a filmmaker, because he's visualizing the film in a completely different way when you're telling him the story. He
says,
it should have been like this, it would have been fun, you know. So there is a filmmaker in every person in the audience. So I don't think the jobs are too different from each other, whether it's that of an audience or of a critic or of a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you just need to go tell your story without worrying about the technicalities. You just need to know that you have to tell a story and how to tell a story in a way that more people will enjoy it. But that also depends on the kind of story that you're telling.
Right.
If you think it's a story specifically targeted to a specific target group, then you tell it in a way in which they would enjoy it the most.
Okay.
Or if you have to tell a mass-based story, then you have to tell it in a way with the things that they expect from the film. If it's a Rajnikanth film, you need those, you know, those punchlines, the styles, the songs and the dance.
Right.
But if you're telling a very niche story, then you go ahead, use English or whatever popular language is used by your target audience, and you employ that and you reach out to them.
So you're saying that as a filmmaker, you're more aware of what the story requires and what the audience is expecting rather than what the critic is looking at. But have you ever, like, when you were directing your film, any scene or any shot, does a scene come to your mind where you said, okay, man, this one the critics are going to rip me apart for?
Well, that didn't happen during the first film, because I think when you're a first-time filmmaker, you have other things to worry about than what the critics are going to say.
Right.
It's only when the first nasty review hits the web that you realize, oh, there is this breed of guys who are just waiting to rip apart the film. That's their job. They pay to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you are one of them. You should have known better, you know. So I guess till you actually feel it, you don't realize it. So I guess the second time you make a film is when you take into account on what the informed people who are out there to judge the film expect from the film.
Right.
So you just tend to, you know, note that, but you don't let that bother your storytelling process, because at the end of the day, it's just going to be one person's opinion.
Okay.
But if you tell a story good enough, I think it's not too difficult to win over critics.
Right. But as a film critic yourself, you're obviously well connected with other critics in and around Chennai and also outside. Did you have an experience where someone well known to you personally wrote a bad review of your film?
No, not really. No, I guess the people who
so
knew
everyone
me
really
knew what I was trying to do.
Okay.
See, I think a lot of people, a lot of critics, they fail to understand that a film needs to be analyzed or criticized from the point of view what the filmmaker wanted to do,
right,
what he's ended up saying, and what the audience expects from it. So it needs to be analyzed from the perspective of the sender of the communication, the receiver, and the message itself.
Right.
Okay, now the people whom I knew, the critics, they mm-hmm. already knew what I was trying to do. So
okay.
when they saw what was coming, they knew whether, and they were able to analyze it in the context of the scope
okay.
of what I was trying to do.
Right.
So I think, but that's not how it should be. You know, a critic should be able to judge a film without knowing me personally or
okay.
without knowing what I've tried to do.
Right.
So if the film does not speak by itself, it would have failed. So I have to answer your question. People I knew, critics I knew, already knew what I was trying to do. So maybe they might not have been the most objective people.
All right, fair enough. All right, Chinnay, you heard it. Lots of information about Sudesh's film, That Four-Letter Word. You should go check it out sometime. In the meanwhile, I'm going to be talking to Sudesh about his favorite films of all time, films that he recommends to all of us. So stay tuned to The Night Show with me, Roshni, on Chinnay Live 104.8 FM. Welcome back, Chinnay. Sudesh is still with us and we're still talking films with him on The Night Show with Roshni on Chinnay Live 104.8 FM. So, Sudesh, tell me, you're also extremely famous for your blogging. Like I said before, you almost have a cult following. How did this...
Before that, we forgot to mention about the special appearances in my film, That Four-Letter Word. We had Madhavan and we also had Roshni Menon.
Yes, that was one tiny scene, Sudesh. Thanks for bringing that up. Moving on, we were talking about your blogs, and like I said, you have a cult following in Chennai and otherwise also. Tell me, considering you write for a paper and that's such a vast medium, how come you decided to start blogging as well?
I had a lot of witty time on my hands. I had plenty of free time, to be honest, that's the answer.
Okay.
Because when I started blogging, it wasn't a big phenomenon at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just like, hey, somebody's giving you free space to write whatever you want.
Right. When did you start blogging?
About 4 or 5 years ago, I guess.
Okay.
Losing track of time. So at that point of time, it was more about, you know, what you thought about things that were happening around you and
right.
stuff like that. It was almost like a personal diary where you would write about, you would pour
mm-hmm.
your heart out and
right.
do silly things which you do with a diary.
Okay.
Unaware that someday the world is going to read them. And you emotional fool.
When you become a big famous film director.
Okay. I don't know about that, but... But basically, I think though it exposes a side of you which you may or may not want other people to know, I
mm-hmm.
think in the long run, it's a record for yourself that
right.
you look back at yourself and you can laugh. Oh, I was an emotional fool at that point of time.
Okay.
You know, okay, it was fun because I don't think maintaining a diary kind of works these days, you know, actually taking a pen out and writing
mm-hmm.
and keeping it in a place. And
right.
So I think this is much easier. So that's how I started blogging and... eventually, as the readership grew, I realized that I had to be more sensitive towards, you know, the kind of stuff which I write. I couldn't write things about people I knew
mm-hmm.
or relationships and
right,
stuff like that.
Right.
So I had to start filtering it.
Okay.
So right now, my blog has nothing personal. It has only reviews. It has only reviews. So
okay.
There might be an occasional personal rant, but otherwise, it's just general.
So how different are the reviews that you write for The Hindu and the reviews that you write on your blog? Is there a difference?
Not... always, but sometimes in terms of language, yes. You know, for example, a film like Race couldn't have been reviewed in The Hindu because it was a formula film. It
right.
was a film where I could have a lot of fun, you know, ripping apart, but
okay.
not necessarily analyzing.
Okay.
So I decided I'm not going to do the review for the paper, and I just decided I'm going to have a good time in my blog.
Okay.
So there's some films which I decide that I just do it in my blog and. Some films which I don't even post on my blog, the boring ones,
okay.
the 1 minute reviews which I have to do for my bread and butter, I just leave them out.
Right. So is there a favorite review on your blog that you've written?
I'd be the worst person to, you know, because I don't think highly of my work, so I don't have any favorites. So
no, really? You don't think highly of your work?
Seriously, I had this. I had to take a class in MOP Vaishnav College
mm-hmm.
recently, and it was a class on feature writing, and I thought, okay, let me go with something which I've written so that I can tell them how it applies with the textbook. Then I kept looking and looking. There was absolutely not one article I could actually show them and say, this is how you write, because they all sucked. You know, because the way you're supposed to do your work
uh-huh.
according to the textbooks and the way we actually do our work, there's a world of difference.
Okay.
And I guess it's probably because of time constraints or whatever, but I don't think I've reached a place where I can actually take out one of my stories and say, this is how you do it.
Well, to give the devil its due, I mean, your blogs do get some very, very passionate responses. In fact, you know, I'm sure you've had bloggers...
Passionate in terms of negative, yeah. But I think blogging is just an extension of a person's personality. Mm-hmm. So I think there has to be tolerance to other people's views, you know.
Okay.
So in the beginning, I had this, you know, split personality. I had this huge superhero hangover where I said, okay, there's going to be Pseudoman, who's the alter ego, who's going to kick evil butt. And whoever has a problem with me, I'm going to, like, abuse them.
Okay.
It's like violence, you know, a discharge of violence. Whatever negative
right.
feelings you have, you just discharge it through your blog.
Right.
So anybody says something nasty, you give it back to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's a process of evolution that with time you just realize that, okay, now more people read you. You can't behave like a 13-year-old anymore. You have to, like, appear a little grown up. So that's when I started, you know, enabling moderation and just taking care of, because most of the time the negative comments are from specific trolls, you know,
okay.
from specific IP addresses.
Fair
so
enough.
You just filter them out, and then you have a, because there's no point just carrying, it's pointless.
Okay.
People always are going to have two different opinions about anything, whether it's a Rajinikanth film or a Kamal Haasan film or a Ajit film or anything. So it's
right.
not possible to please everybody.
Okay, so Sudhish, tell us your blog's URL so that our listeners can go check out your blog.
Oh, that's pretty simple. SudhishKamath.com.
Okay, great. That's SudhishKamath.com. SudhishKamath.com. Go check out Sudhish's reviews on his blog and call in and let us know what you think. If you have an opinion or you'd like to ask Sudhish a question even, just give us a call on 4242-1048. Stay tuned, Chennai. There's lots more coming up on The Night Show with Roshni on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Welcome back, Chennai. This is The Night Show with Roshni on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. We've been having some great conversation with Sudhish Kamath, special correspondent for The Hindu, and we've been talking films with him. So Sudhish, now tell me, can you describe the movie culture in Chennai?
It's a tough one because it's not just a metropolitan city, it's also a cosmopolitan city.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there's an audience for every kind of film being made.
Right.
And especially with the multiplexes and the different varying size of halls,
mm-hmm.
I think there is a market for a small film like Amir or a big film like Dasavataram.
Okay.
The problem, in fact, is that we don't have enough screens.
Mm-hmm.
So people are always looking for opportunities to, you know, go watch movies, but they don't get tickets.
Right.
So right now, because there is a shortage of movie halls,
mm-hmm.
they settle for whatever movie they are able to get.
Okay.
Which is why it's impossible to get tickets for any movie during the weekend, whether it's in Satyam or Inox.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been trying to get tickets for Dasavataram for, I think, 2 weeks now. It's
impossible. And in fact, Satyam also has a morning 7:15 show on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Even that gets filled up by Thursdays and Fridays.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know about now. Maybe this week it might have eased out. But
right.
Otherwise, the problem with Chennai is that there is a shortage of films.
Okay.
There's a shortage of theaters and not a shortage of films.
Mm-hmm.
So there are plenty of films to choose from, but they're not getting slots in the right theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is sometimes people do not want to go to some of the other theaters.
Mm-hmm.
They're so used to the multiplex
thing
that they probably lose out on that, and which is why they probably head towards piracy.
Okay.
If these films were made available in quality halls,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there is scope for piracy to, you know, survive. Also, the kind of films that are made, the right kind of films should be available at the multiplexes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the multiplexes need to evolve some kind of a policy where they screen the quality of films that they're going to play.
Absolutely.
Great film like Johnny Gaddar, which in my opinion is the movie of last year.
Okay.
They couldn't play it for more than a week because by the time it became popular, they had already sold out the hall to somebody else.
Oh, okay.
So the movie of the year,
mm-hmm.
of the previous year, okay, it wasn't the movie of the year. The movie of the year was Tare Zameen Par. This is number two.
Right.
Couldn't be played for more than a week in Chennai. That's how unfortunate it was.
Oh, okay.
And the movie of this year, Mithya, we don't know when it came, when it went.
That's true.
It's quite unfortunate.
Okay, but a lot of the movies just don't even make it here, like especially English films. And when they do, like for example, The Incredible Hulk, I remember reading your review
that
said
that's a really big issue. That's a really big issue. The distributors cut. It's high time they stopped doing that. It's highly unethical.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason these distributors cut off the length is to save money. Because if they cut off 25 minutes, they save 10,000 rupees out of 50,000 rupees, which costs for a print.
Right.
And in fact, after the review I wrote where mm-hmm. I said it's incredible, credible, marvelous, except that the distributors chopped off the best parts out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the distributors have actually quoted credible, incredible, marvelous, thanks, the Hindu, in their ads in the last 3-4 days. So, you know, they are completely ruthless, and they go to any extent to get their money back and save money. So I think the big studios should take care of their products if they want people to watch these films on in the theaters rather than just download it, because we get them free off the net.
Right, absolutely. That's another thing I wanted to talk to you about. I mean, this whole thing of piracy, I mean, forget fake DVDs, even just being able to download a film off the internet. I mean, for me personally, I think, like, example, the new movies, it just ruins the experience for me. I'd love to go into a theater, you know, munch on some popcorn, some chocolate, watch the movie. For me, it's the whole package.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this whole trend of downloading movies and things like that?
Well, I think in one way, I think there's a bright side to it, that we get to watch movies which we otherwise wouldn't get to see.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if people really like a film and if they want to support it, they should go watch it in the theaters.
Right.
But when we are talking about films which do not release here, mm-hmm. which we cannot otherwise see, for example, let's say Gotham Knight.
Uh-huh.
It's a great, a phenomenal build-up to The Dark Knight, which is about to release, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So we've seen Batman Begins, and DC Comics released this Gotham Knight
mm-hmm.
on anime. It's a bunch of six films on anime which give you trivia on Batman.
Oh,
things
okay.
which you didn't know about Batman. You
wow.
know, how do the bullets actually pop out? Why don't bullets affect Batman?
Right.
Do they actually injure people around him?
Right.
The funda like that, the trivia like that was available in Gotham Knight, and there's no way we're going to get Gotham Knight anywhere for the next few months.
Absolutely.
So I downloaded it. I watched it 3 days ago. It was awesome. You know, it was one of the best.
They're listening. They're listening, Sudeesh.
Yeah.
Okay, so you heard that, Jenny. Sudeesh has downloaded Gotham Knight, and he says it's phenomenal. So I'm not telling you to download it. I won't endorse it on FM, but hey, you choose, and let me know how it was if you've watched it. You can call me on 4242-1048. Stay tuned to The Night Show with Roshni on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. There's a lot more coming up. Welcome back, Chennai. We have Sudeesh Kamath with us here on The Night Show with Roshni on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Last hour, we were talking about movies, we were talking about piracy, we were talking about a lot of things, including Sudeesh's film, That Four-Letter Word. Now, coming up, Sudeesh, I'd like to ask you, you wear so many different hats. I mean, there's a filmmaker, you're a critic, you're a writer. What would you like to be remembered as?
I think I'd be lucky if I'm remembered. No, seriously, I'm perfectly comfortable with what I am.
Mm-hmm.
Part-time filmmaker and full-time bum. I'd like to remain that way, I guess.
Let me explain where that comes from. That's actually his the way he describes himself on his blog. What is it you say? I'm a part-time filmmaker, full-time bum?
Small-time writer, all times come.
There you go. Pearls of wisdom from Sudeesh Kamath. Anyway, so Sudeesh, also tell me, are there any critics, film critics, contemporary or otherwise, whose opinion you value, you know?
Yeah, definitely. They're both pretty good friends of mine, especially Raja Sen from Rediff.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's really awesome to have a friend who's also doing the same thing which you do, because when you're making a film, you already have a critic out there. You can tell him, okay, this is the script. Tell me how would you rip this film apart? Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So that's so it helps. I really love the way Raja writes it. His review of Love Story 2050. After reading it, I'm like, man, I can't review this film. You know, he's pretty much said most of the things I wanted to say, and
okay.
he did a damn good job of it.
Right.
So I had to actually wait 3 days before I put up my review.
Oh, okay.
And my review's out today.
Okay.
And Bharadwaj Rangan, he's probably the best film critic in the country. He's probably even better than Raja Sen, probably in terms of, you know, his passion for cinema.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he's very good. I love the way he writes, the way he manages humor into everything which he does.
Okay.
I'm his biggest fan.
Oh, great. Does he know this?
Yeah, of course. He's a friend too. So.
Okay, yeah. Great. Bharadwaj, I hope you're listening to this one. Sudeesh is all praises for you. Anyway, Sudeesh, now tell me, you've been writing reviews for so many years. Have you ever had an experience where a filmmaker or an actor or anyone associated with a film has come up to you and asked you to doctor a review? As in, have they requested that you go easy on them or that you give them a good review?
No, I've not had the fortune of
that.
But, no, but seriously, what happened is there was this film which got a very bad review in our paper. And this a guy who was in the film, he said, okay, that review has really done a lot of damage. Can you just write a story on me, you know, on an interview where... And I could say, to be fair to you, considering the money that's gone into the film, maybe we could do an interview. But I really don't know what else we can do. I can't bring in my opinion into it.
Then.
So after that, he called me from Mexico and he said, just make sure it's the best article you've ever written on me. There are indirect ways they try to bring that up.
Okay.
But they, at the end of the day, I think a writer's got to put his foot down and clearly tell them this is where you draw the line.
All right. And Suresh, also, has there ever been a time where, you know, perhaps you wrote a review and in hindsight you felt you were unfair to the film? Has that ever happened?
Yeah, Black. I raved about it.
And you don't think so anymore?
Yeah, actually, yeah, I think it's a film at, that you like it when you watch it, but only in hindsight you realize that it... Though it was a great thing, it was a good film. It maybe it didn't deserve a review, which made it look like it's the best film ever.
Right.
Especially after you've seen a film like Iqbal, which kind of deals with the same issue, but without a big deal.
Right.
So there are things like we're all human beings, so we learn from our mistakes. So next time I'm going to keep in mind, you know, how much praise you actually give a film more than it deserves.
Okay. So Suresh, just earlier you mentioned that your review of Love Story 2050 is out today. So tell us your blog version. I don't want to know what you wrote in the Hindu. Tell me the personal opinion of Love Story 2050.
Oh, it's a great, phenomenal film. It's probably the only positive review the film's going to get, so I had to do it.
I'm laughing now because I can see the look of sarcasm on his face,
no,
just so you know.
It's a film you have to feed your friends to, because what are friends for if not to share the joy of a film on time travel, time stands still, you know. It never ends. My review is actually the deleted scenes which got cut out of the film because there were only 3 hours 15 minutes and they couldn't pack out all the information.
What are you saying?
Yeah, so there's one scene where, you know, there's Darth Vader in the film, in case you don't know. So
in Love Story 2050.
Yeah, in Love Story 2050. So Star Wars fans are going to be so thrilled because Darth Vader makes a comeback. And the scene which they removed was that Darth Vader takes his mask off and says, I'm your father, and it turns out to be Rakesh Roshan. Because Harman is exactly like Hrithik Roshan, and... there's definitely something wrong in the family.
That's actually strange, isn't it? The uncanny resemblance. For the longest time, I thought it was Hrithik Roshan in the film.
That's the power of visual effects, and you thought visual effects were good.
Great. I'm waiting. I'm going to, as soon as the show's over, I'm going to go read your blog on Love Story 2050. I'm sure I'll get a laugh out of it. Thanks, Suresh, for that. Stay tuned, Chennai, because when we come back after these songs, we're going to talk to Suresh about his favorites, all-time favorites that Suresh recommends, and I'm guessing they're going to be must-watch films, all right? So stay tuned, Chennai, to The Night Show with Roshni on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Welcome back, Chennai. This is The Night Show with Roshni on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. We're still in conversation with Suresh, and he's been sharing some great information with us. I mean, who knew about Darth Vader in Love Story 2020? Thanks for that one, Suresh. Suresh, I want to ask you, who is your favorite director?
My idol, my god, is Cameron Crowe, the guy who made Jerry Maguire,
right?
Almost Famous, Vanilla Sky, Say Anything, and Elizabeth Town.
Okay.
And those five films would probably go on my top five list, but okay, it would be really unfair to the other films. But yeah, right. Cameron Crowe is my favorite director for his ability to to make those characters come alive. So it's like, I think he said somewhere, I don't remember the exact quote, it's like, it, a movie should be like, you go to this place, you meet these amazing people and you fall in love with them, and you don't want to leave the hall.
Yeah.
And they stay with you, you know, much after you've left the hall.
Right.
And you can keep revisiting them every time you play it back.
Absolutely.
To DVD. So I think that's the magic which Cameron Crowe creates with his characters. If I'm able to do even one tenth of that, I would consider myself very fortunate.
Oh, great. Okay, are there any Indian directors that you like as well?
Farhan Akhtar, Nagesh Kukunoor, definitely the two most talented, phenomenally talented directors.
True.
And Shimit Amin too is one of the really incredibly talented directors.
Great. And what about actors? Who's your favorite actor?
Shah Rukh Khan, obviously. Definitely. I like Shah Rukh Khan because he can make anything look extremely casual. He can either take himself seriously as an actor, or he can just completely chill out and have a blast.
Right.
I don't think there are too many actors who have managed to do both.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take Mohan Bhargav in Swadesh, or if you take Sunil from Kabhi Haan Kabhi Na,
mm-hmm.
they are roles which I don't think any other actor could have played and made them look so real and believable.
True.
Especially Sunil from Kabhi Haan Kabhi Na.
Right.
Yeah. So actor about, definitely Shah Rukh Khan.
Okay, and what about female?
Female Indian?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a tough one. I don't know, Rani, Kajol, I think both of them are very good.
Right.
Yeah, but I think I'd go with Rani.
What about internationally, actor and male and female favorites?
Angelina Jolie, because she's one of the five people I'm allowed to cheat with. And male, I'd go with Clooney, but I think George Clooney, though, is a brilliant actor,
mm-hmm.
and the most casual actor ever.
Right.
I think I'd go with Tom Cruise, because he's one of the most underrated actors. He's never got his due.
Because
he's known as a good looker more than an actor.
Yeah, I've always thought Tom Cruise was very overrated as an actor. I thought
He's been overrated as a good looker. He's definitely been overrated as a good looker, but
right.
as an actor, he's been extremely underrated. You look at a film like Lions for Lambs, or, you know, Jerry Maguire or Vanilla Sky.
Mm-hmm.
It's they're not roles which are easy to play, you know, especially when you're a good looker.
Right.
So I think he's definitely one of the most underrated actors, and he's definitely overrated for good looks.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I've always thought that the man can't really act. I mean, because think about it, all of these movies that you've named, it's not like you can't think of any other actor who couldn't have played that part, you know? It's like any other actor would have been able to pull that off.
Like I said, there are two opinions on everything, so...
Fair enough, Sudhish. Okay, as a filmmaker, what is your dream cast, your ultimate dream cast?
Maybe a combination of all these people I mentioned right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Harman Baweja.
The poor guy with his Hrithik Roshan.
Definitely with Darth Vader. And Jadu from Koi Mil Gaya.
I'm really going to go watch Love Story 2050. I had no intention of watching it, but after all this talk from Sudhish Kamal, I have to watch this film. I'm going to call you, Sudhish, and tell you what I thought about it, alright? Great. So now, Sudhish, what we're going to do is, we're going to go listen to a few songs, and when we come back, you're going to tell us what your ultimate favorite movie list is. All right? Are you all set?
Yeah, I thought that was the last link.
No, we're going to come back. We're going to keep the listeners a little, you know, in tension and stress and all of that. Yeah?
Okay.
All right, you guys, keep that suspense going, because we're going to come back and we're going to talk about Sudhish's favorite films right here on The Night Show with Roshni. Hey Chennai, I hope you're enjoying the wonderful mix of movie and conversation with Sudhish Kamat. Alright Sudhish, now comes the million dollar questions. Before we talk about your favorite films, I have to know this. Which is the worst movie you've ever watched?
Love Story 2015.
I hope Rakesh Roshan's not listening to all of this, and neither is Harman Baweja, the poor guy. But was it really that bad?
No, Rakesh Roshan will actually like it, because imitation is the biggest form of flattery.
Right.
And
but given your theory that he's Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the worst ever, is it?
Definitely. There are other films this year, like Mr. Black, Mr. White, and Rama,
mm-hmm.
Rama, Kya Hai Drama. But they're poor people, you know, they made films with limited resources. But here's a film which gloriously spends 50 crores in the most expensive piece of trash. You know, it's the most horrible film, but at the same time, it's extremely entertaining. And forget everything which I said. Please go watch it, because I don't want to be the only person who has had that experience.
Well, entertaining for all the wrong reasons, right? Great. Now, Sudhish, everyone's been waiting for this one. We want to know your list of favorite movies.
Again, that's a really tough one. Apart from the obvious favorites like Godfather, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and
right.
all that, I'd like to go with, like I said, Cameron Crowe is my favorite filmmaker, so
mm-hmm.
my all-time most favorite film has to be Jerry Maguire.
Right.
But then Elizabeth Town and Vanilla Sky come close second. Again, Tarantino, I'd go with True Romance, because he didn't direct it,
mm-hmm.
and it's the closest as it gets to autobiographical when it comes to Tarantino.
Okay.
Because it's a sweet little love story, and it's an extremely romantic film with the usual Tarantino ingredients, but it was good because it was directed by Tony Scott, who interpreted the script and made it, and he took it beyond the script.
So it's not as stressful as watching a regular Tarantino film.
Yeah, it's like you don't have to worry about the chapter 8 coming in the first and chapter right. 1 comes later and all that.
Right.
And again, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset has to be part of everybody's favorite list because it's the power of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know too many films which have actually had just the conversations run the whole film.
Mm-hmm.
And so Linklater's Before Sunrise, Before Sunset and Christopher Nolan's Following, a film which he made before Memento, which kind of tells us how he first came up with that non-linear structure.
Right.
And that too, he made the film with almost no resources.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a black and white film. I think it's a modern day classic.
Okay, I haven't watched that one.
Yeah. And Kevin Smith's Chasing Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's one of the really underrated films because it's a film about extremely messed up youth,
right.
confused sexualities and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it had one of the most messed up endings as well, which is why I love it, because the characters are so messed up that it couldn't have had a sane ending.
Right.
It needed to have that messed up ending.
Right.
So I love Kevin Smith with what he did with Clerks and, you know, Chasing Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Also did 50 First Dates.
Mm, okay.
Which I think has to be the most romantic film ever. Apart mm-hmm. from, you know, when Harry met Sally
right,
and
right.
stuff like that.
Okay.
So I like silly rom-coms as well. So I think good fun because when we go into the hall, we just want to have a good time.
Absolutely. And do you have any Indian favorites in Hindi, Tamil?
Nagesh Kuknur, Iqbal, Door,
mm-hmm.
two of my topmost favorite films.
Right.
In Tamil, I like Maniratham's Maunaragam.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be definitely one of the best films he's ever made.
Absolutely.
And, along with Nayagan and Dalapati. We have to balance
it's a
it out.
Whole lot of Maniratham films.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. These three have to be his best films: Dalapati, Nayagan, and Maunaragam.
I agree.
Three best films.
Okay, what did you think of Paruthiviran? I mean, for me, I love Paruthiviran. I thought it was a brilliant film. Pasupati,
yeah.
I thought was phenomenal. What did you think of
it? It's a great film. It's brilliant cinema. But my take on entertainment is I go to a film to have a good time. So, you know, so when I'm critically analyzing it, I might give it like two thumbs up and great and all. But when I go watch it again, no. I'm not that kind of a movie watcher.
Okay, wait. Oops, I made a boo-boo. I said Pasupati in Paruthiviran. I'm sorry. I meant Veil. Pasupati in Veil was brilliant, but Paruthiviran is also one of my favorite films. So what did you think of Veil?
Veil, I loved the first half of the film. The second half kind of didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was a very good effort for a debutant filmmaker.
Right.
And I think we should be making more films like that. Break the structure of, you know, the one guy beating up 10 people. And
also we tend to overdo the mushy love stories and, you know, boy meets girl campus love stories. This one was so refreshing in how real it was. Like,
definitely,
Veil was beautiful.
Definitely. I'd also like to mention Kadal for that matter.
Right.
Because here was a politically incorrect film,
mm.
but made with 100% conviction. You know,
right.
I won't say it was actually politically incorrect. It just ended up sounding politically incorrect.
Okay.
In fact, it is a politically correct film because of the ending, the way he just gets... It's kind of justified,
mm-hmm.
but because of the glorification of we tend to romanticize our love stories, and because of that it actually seems like true love and school and all that.
True.
So it's the wrongs which seem right. That's what love is about.
Mm-hmm.
And Kadal was able to capture that, so I liked Kadal.
Great. Thank you so much, Sudhish, for taking the time out and talking to us and for giving us your favorite movie list. I hope you people have written these down, because go out and watch these films. And
Juno, if you haven't seen it. Juno is one of the best films I've seen in recent times.
Absolutely, that's true. I agree with you as well. Juno was brilliant. In fact, I read this somewhere. I don't remember who said it, but they were talking about the Oscar nominations for the year, and you know how all the films were so dark and angry and full of blood and violence. And the presenter, I think, said, well, thank God for teenage pregnancies. Lighten up the world a little bit.
Definitely. It was treated with refreshing amount of casualness, and it was such a serious issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing is it was treated like a slice of life, light-hearted love story,
mm-hmm.
which is what I think the future has in store, because we have to deal with it. We are going to have to deal with teenage pregnancy.
Right.
So it's a film ahead of its time, which is actually treating it like a normal rom-com instead
mm-hmm.
of getting all seriously senti about it and, you know, making it look like it's a big deal. It kind of challenges the definitions of what is motherhood and is it biological? Is it necessarily biological?
Yeah.
Motherhood has nothing to do with, you know, biological
Absolutely.
Nature. If you look at Krishna, who was his real mother? So,
True.
You know, it's I think it was interesting, the idea that it broke a lot of conventions on what motherhood is.
Great. Thank you so much, Sudhish. This has been absolutely wonderful chatting with you, and I hope we can catch up sometime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.